John Davies came to Alaska in 1967 to study geophysics and climb mountains. 25 years later, he was making laws in the legislature. Along the way, he's faced floods, volcanic eruptions, and a battle over state income taxes, learning a lot about the tectonic plates and the people who have shaped Alaska. Molly Reddig talked to John Davies for this series about life in Fairbanks before the pipeline boom.
John Davies spent his first summer in Fairbanks on the Upper Chena River, using satellite dishes to record radio emissions from the sun. On August 11th, it rained 3.5 inches.
It was just raining like crazy, and the water was coming up.
At 11 a.m., his partner called from the research site a quarter mile away, stranded by floodwater. John jumped in the only available vehicle, a front-end loader, to go rescue him.
The water was over the tires. It was 6 feet deep. Unfortunately, in our bunkhouse area, it was high and dry, but there was water everywhere around us.
The Great Flood of 67 nailed Fairbanks the next day, flooding the power plant, wiping out the hospital, and displacing 8,000 people. The bridges washed out, and two grad students were stuck there for weeks. Luckily, they had a generator, an electric oven, and all the ingredients for cake. The next day was the caretaker's birthday.
And then we made a raft out of oil drums, and we pulled across, you know, this flooded area so we could get over their place, and we delivered this birthday cake to her.
Then came the first winter.
50 below seemed like I was on the other side of the moon, you know. I mean, it really would seem just a complete different thing.
That's John's wife, Linda Schandelmeyer, laughing. She moved up the same year from a homestead in Anchorage. She says the ice fog was way worse than it is today, thanks to lower temperatures and dirtier car engines.
You'd be at an intersection, and you could barely see that the lights were red. I mean, you stop. And then it was like, when they turned green, it was like, you just had to go on a wing and a prayer. It's like, I guess I'll turn left, but I hope nobody else is out there. I mean, because you really couldn't tell.
John had summit fever. In 1970, he attempted a first ascent of Mount Kimball in the Alaska Range, skiing 40 miles in on the Canwell Glacier. But when they reached the final steep, icy pitch, they ran out of ice screws. They were climbing back down, roped together, when one member of his group vanished.
It was a fairly narrow crevasse, and that, you know, the sound doesn't travel very far, and we were concerned that he was unconscious.
His friend was uninjured when they pulled him 50 feet up and over the lip of the crevasse, but it was the last peak John tried to bag. Field work was an adventure too, especially before GPS and satellite phones. Linda spent one summer living in a wall tent near Bristol Bay studying cormorants. Once a month, someone from Bethel would fly out to check on her.
Essentially, we had no communication. They wouldn't let you do that now. I mean, are you kidding? What if you got hurt? The nearest village was like 25 miles away.
John spent many summers installing seismic stations in the Aleutians, cruising around islands in a fishing boat and climbing craggy hillsides.
I mean, you first look at it and you think it's just a godforsaken patch of grass out there in the middle of the ocean, and it's just cold and windy, and it is a lot of the time. But it's also just an enormously beautiful place and very, very rich in sea life.
One time he hitched a ride with a fishing boat from Sand Point to Nagai Island. When the cannery called to say they desperately needed product, John ended up spraying shrimp with a fire hose all day rather than setting up seismometers.
And we fished for about, I don't know, 10 or 12 hours, and we caught over 100,000 pounds of shrimp. You know, that is a lot of frigging shrimp. The guy who was sort of the chef, you know, fried up some of the shrimp for us. These are almost like prawns. They were really good.
In 1993, he headed for the next summit, the state legislature. Alaska's oil revenues were cut in half that decade as oil prices and production dropped. John, a House Democrat, proposed a state income tax to balance the budget.
It was a crazy tax, you know, but it had the advantage that it was deductible on people's federal income taxes. So it would actually save people in Alaska about $100 million, you know, over the course of a year.
It passed the House but was crucified in the Republican-controlled Senate. Then his opponent used it to beat him in the next election.
They ran an ad with a woman in their kitchen looking in her checkbook and saying she just didn't understand why that John Davies wanted to take $3,000 away from her.
In the past 5 decades, John has learned a lot about the physics, the resources, and the people that make Alaska tick. Now he'd like to see the state invest in renewable energy for the future. Having lived here in the 60s, it's not that hard for him to imagine life in Alaska without oil. In Fairbanks, I'm Molly Reddig.